You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
AZ, do you remember how long ago was it we were supposed to golf with Gary Roberts?
About a month ago, wasn't it?
Longer.
Yeah, about that. I guess a month and a half, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Just got word today that I could be getting my car back soon.
You have gone without your car for that long.
Yes.
What happened to it?
Thank you to the great people, Terry, Bud, and Buds, and Metro West for doing the right thing. Thank you very much.
Did they clean out the trunk? Is that what they had to go through?
I'm not getting into it.
There's a sweet and sour packet stuck in the engine.
Oh, really? That's what it was?
Finally found it. They said, you're good. We got you
a
covered,
sweet
Pally.
And sour pack.
You're a sweet and sour guy, aren't you? You sweet. You scream sweet and sour.
I am by no means a sweet. When have I ever had... We've had 7,000 meals with each other. When have I ever said, anybody got any sweet and sour? Never.
The Mandarin. You never been eating at the Mandarin when we used to go there?
Yeah.
I would eat sweet and sour.
Yeah, sweet. What's wrong with sweet and sour?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that? The chicken balls.
I'm just, yeah. This is a stupid comment, a sweet and sour pack in the engine. Like, it's not even, it's not funny. It's not applicable. It's just,
I actually thought it was
very
funny from the trunk.
Like,
the trunk. The trunk comment. I thought that was brilliant because now, obviously, you've changed. You know, your cars are very nice, but there was a time, and admit this,
there was some stuff in the trunk.
There was a time where you could not identify what was in your own vehicle.
Is that that's such a long time ago.
Sit here and say my car is much better. I mean, there's one car we have. We got the golf cart still kicking out there. I don't think it's been driven more than 5 times.
Why do you
times.
Still have that thing? Yeah.
Because we don't drive right now. Like, I work from home exclusively, and my wife has a 2-minute commute to her work. So we don't go anywhere, you know, and if we do, we get the truck. We jump in the SUV and we go wherever we have to go. So it's just not anything we even think about. Like, eventually we'll hop on a new car, but I got bigger fish to fry over here. I have something happening at my house. This is a daily occurrence, 3 days in a row, where there's an animal that is soiling itself on my walkway and sending my house a message. 3 days in a row, and we're talking, like, remember that scene in Jurassic Park, the first one where they show up and the one sick, you know, T-Rex or whatever just took a moose that was the size of a small building? Like, that's happening outside my house in the walkway every day.
Don't even tell me someone's got a dog.
No, it's not a dog.
Dude, because I would sit on the front porch and have a chat if a giant Great Dane was taking a moose right in front of my house.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even on the grass. Like, I'm talking, dude, the walkway. Like, there is no etiquette here
for
this animal.
What do you mean? On your, like, front step? Like, the walkway to your front step?
Yeah, you walk down the front steps, and then you walk around the walkway, and you walk out to the garage. You know the house.
Yeah.
And right there on one of the steps, as you're walking down to where the cars are parked, there's been three little notes left for me 3 days in a row. Same spot. It's like some animal has decided, I have a routine.
Well, what kind of critters are crawling around your place? Is it
a raccoon?
It might be. But I'll say this. Where I live, I'm almost reluctant to say this or admit this because I grew up in Toronto.
It's a wolf.
And I know better than to even gloat about this, but it is gloating. I've been out here for almost 6 years. I have never seen a raccoon, ever. Not one. Yeah.
Dude, the fattest raccoons you'll ever see are in Etobicoke. These raccoons live the best life of all.
Dude,
they're the fattest pigs I've ever seen in my life.
You want to hear terror, okay? I used to come home after a massive night when I was still living in Toronto, and you'd get out of a cab at like 3:30 in the morning. You'd be walking up a dark, dark, like, side of the house, and you can hear something, and you're like, that's a raccoon, and I guarantee it's the size of a bear. And it's not going to let me just pass.
No, because you've got a chicken parm sandy cooking in your hand.
That's another reason why.
He's got a half a wheel eaten already before you get in.
Like, yeah. I have a buddy that got bit by, he was coming home. It was like 4:30 in the morning. He was Bernie Lomax. And I guess his parents had left like a garbage can out by the end of the driveway. And he thought, okay, good Samaritan, good son. I'll pick it up and bring it into the garage before I go in. Picks the thing up and a coon comes flying out. Raccoon comes flying out, bites him in the arm and takes off. He had to go to the hospital to get a rabies shot at like 5 a.m. His blood alcohol level was like 5%.
Jeez. That's dangerous.
It's like, dangerous.
I don't know. They'd handle things differently in Ontario than they do in Alberta. So
I think we know what that means.
But they shouldn't be around, put it that way. I don't think they're like cute.
They're living the high life in Toronto.
They're dangerous.
They're living the high life in Toronto. And they always figure out it's like the Apple stuff today, right? Like Tim Cook or Tim Apple, whatever his handle is, comes out with something that, the longest battery ever, and this will be the greatest iPad. And then, sure enough, it'll break in like a few months for some people. Toronto does this every couple of years. They come up with some new contraption that raccoons cannot get into. You know, it's some new garbage can, and a week into this thing that apparently cannot be penetrated by anything on Earth. The jaws of life can't get in it. Right. There's raccoons in there. They are savvy.
They are.
They are savvy, savvy little beasts, and they're savages, and they own the city right now. But I don't think that's my problem out here. Anyway, definitely not the problem for Ryan Harris, who's on hold listening to us bark away about our issues in Toronto when he's got a Game 7 to tee up tonight. Nuggets taking on the Clippers down in the bubble. The Broncos, they had opportunities last night. I don't think they were the better team. I think Tennessee outperformed them, but Gostkowski almost handed it to them, and the Broncos couldn't find a way to get a win. So we head to Denver now and catch up with former NFLer, and he's now a radio host on Altitude Sports. Back on Overdrive, here's Ryan Harris. What's the mood like in Denver for the Nuggets game tonight, Ryan?
Hey, well, the Nuggets game, Game 7, I mean, we feel like we're a city that can't be beat. It's their second Game 7 in a row. They're 5-1 in elimination games this year. So it's one of those things where it's going to be a blast, and I've been able to set up a nice menu for sports viewing for 2 days in a row. Went with the dry rub wings yesterday and some barbecue. I'm thinking about some pizza or Chinese food today, boys. So I'll try and figure that one out before the tip off here.
Yeah, you can't make that call like once the game started. Yeah, you got to do both, and then you just figure it out as you go. But you got to make the call before the game tips off.
See, that's why I love you Canadians. Why not both? I didn't even think of that, man. That's awesome.
Yep, that's how we do it up here.
I'm not sure about what is it, the dry wings? I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, I've actually gotten a lot away from meat a lot going plant-based, but something about nice, dry, spicy. Come on, man. It's Game 7 style.
Yeah. Well, about Jamal Murray? I mean, he's our guy. He was, he grew up in Kitchener, Ontario, which is about 45 minutes outside of Toronto, and he's might be the best Canadian playing right now. He probably is, certainly right now in terms of the games that are currently ongoing, but I'm talking about in the NBA in general. What's the love like for Jamal Murray in Denver?
It's so fun because, Nikola Jokic is no question a once-in-a-lifetime type of player, but Jamal Murray is the most important player to the Nuggets. As he goes, the Nuggets go. He plays with so much energy and passion, and one thing that really hasn't been talked about a lot, he's been injured really the whole series, first with the quad injury that he got in the series before against Utah, and then he was able to battle through, and then has had some bumps and bruises the last 6 games, but he has powered through. And guys, tonight I think he's going for over 20 points, and he can really tip the scales in Denver's favor. But they're going to go against a very veteran squad who's built for this moment, and one of the things is tonight's game is going to be extremely physical. That's where Jamal Murray has struggled in the past, but one thing we've been enjoying watching is how Jamal Murray answers and goes beyond the challenge each and every time the Nuggets find themselves in a situation like tonight.
We're chatting with Ryan Harris, sports radio host down in Denver, former NFLer. So that confidence level you have, I totally get it with the basketball team. I got to believe it's lacking a little bit with the football team, not necessarily based on what happened last night with the Broncos, but who you share a division with, right? Like you're walking into it, Mahomes and the Chiefs are winning the division. Like, does that just go without saying and you guys are chasing a wild card spot out there or what?
Yeah, and strangely, the Broncos didn't seem to know the arms race they were in the AFC West, let alone in the NFL. I mean, to lose last night's game scoring only 14 points is absolutely atrocious. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders, 34 points. Every other team in the division is playing like a real football team. And the most troubling part about yesterday's game is this loss is on Vic Fangio. I mean, you have a young quarterback with a young offense that's missing its best player in Cortland Sutton. You finally get down to the red zone after three tries on the one-yard line. You're not able to get it in. He went for it on fourth down. Conventional wisdom, and I'll change that. Championship wisdom is to always take the points in the first quarter. He doesn't do so and ends up losing the game by two. He goes for fourth down, and he ends up getting stuffed. And now the Broncos are losing their first game by two, and they could have had a field goal and won this game by one no matter what. So he really failed to put the pressure on Tennessee. He even said about taking timeouts late in the game, that's totally my fault. And those kinds of things can't happen when you have a young team who's not going to be scoring many points, as we saw yesterday, who has a chance to win a game somehow, you know, 16-14.
With Ryan Harris, former NFLer and radio host down in Denver. What about on the flip side last night? We talked a lot about this in the 4 p.m. hour. Steven Goskowski, who has had a great career in New England, but that's his first impression in Tennessee. He misses three field goals. He misses an extra point. He ends up chipping in the winner, so I guess technically he did supply something to that W last night. But take us inside the locker room, on the plane going back to Nashville. If you're on his team, what kind of interaction is going on between you and the new kicker who looks like he really doesn't know what he's doing right now?
Yeah, well, all is forgiven when you hit a game winner. I mean, that's just, you know, it's like the shooter in basketball who hasn't made a shot all game but nails a three-pointer for the lead. And what people forget about Goskowski is he actually struggled at in Denver when we won Super Bowl 50. He actually missed an extra point in the first quarter, and that was a big reason why we won that game, because later at the end, with time expired, the New England Patriots had to go for two because of that kick. So no doubt he was battling some demons of his past, and he has had a hip surgery. So he comes in last night to a hostile environment, even without fans. An environment that haunts his memories, and he's not 100% healthy, and he goes and he has a tough day. One of the kicks was blocked, but missing two field goals, you know, that's unacceptable for a player who was named to the All-Decade team.
Well, another guy who was on that list, I believe, was Tom Brady, his former teammate in New England, and Tom did not have a very good time in New Orleans over the weekend, and he's thrown a pick six in three consecutive games. And he's got Carolina at home this week. They're big favorites. They should win that game. But what happens, what are we talking about on Monday throughout the NFL world, if Brady throws another couple picks, very mediocre, and somehow Carolina beats Tampa on Sunday?
Well, whatever we say, we better be careful, because we're saying the same thing about our uncles and sometimes grandparents, right? I mean, he's 41 years old, and you look at him and Phillip Rivers, you know, there has been a decline. There's no question about that. Now, would I rather have Tom Brady in any game, in any situation? Absolutely. Did their defense fail? Absolutely. Did they go against what I believe is going to be the Super Bowl champion team in the New Orleans Saints? Yes. I mean, the Saints are built to win now, this year. And even Drew Brees said, there's only one goal this year. We're coming for the championship. And that's a very different team than adding Rob Gronkowski, who, oh, by the way, played his first game in 2 years. Trying to work with a new team. I love the initial drive. It was still really cool, guys, to see Tom Brady in a different jersey, wasn't it? It was
strange, but
awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So those things all happen. And I know from playing in the NFL, you really don't know who a team is or what they're capable of until week 5, 6 of the NFL season. So you got to get through, try and get 2 to 3 wins in the first 4 games, but you're still figuring out how each other plays, how people respond. And I can tell you from playing with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, other players have to do a lot of adjusting, one to the expectations, but also the pace and urgency that the greats play with. It's not just, hey, we got a first down. I remember Peyton Manning was very upset after a first down. Like, hey, man, what happened? We just got the first down. He's like, we could have got 5 more yards. I'm like, 5 more yards? What the? But that's where they operate, right? And if you're not used to that, you have some adjustments to make, and those adjustments are taking place in Tampa this week.
You just mentioned Brees. He is one guy. Doesn't he look like he can play for legit and be great for 5 more years? Every time I watch him, there's just doesn't seem to be a decline with that guy.
You know, what I see is a guy who's working so hard to make sure there's not a decline. And I see Drew Brees as probably one of the last quarterbacks that we'll see as a Hall of Fame quarterback who isn't going to stretch a couple of years out more. You know, I mean, he badly needs that, though, that second championship, because everybody else around him has one. I mean, you think about it, he's got as many Super Bowl championships as Joe Flacco right now. That's awful for a Hall of Fame quarterback, especially when you look at what Tom Brady's done, Ben Roethlisberger, even Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, right? I mean, you don't want to be the guy in the Hall of Fame jacket with only one ring and you're standing next to Eli Manning. And he says, oh, that's nice, man. You wish you could have got another one, you know? So those kinds of things matter, and Drew Brees has played like he's focused on that his entire offseason.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. Good luck tonight, man. It's going to be a fun game, fun evening, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks, fellas. Go Nuggets. Peace.
Yes, go Nuggets. I'm on the Nuggets tonight, too. I love them. Love them tonight.
Roethlisberger's got two rings.
Yeah, and he went to a third Super Bowl, and that was the one where the Packers beat him. But, yeah, he had two early. I think he had one in his first full year.
Yeah,
I think he had
one with Jerome Bettis on his team, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The game was in Detroit.
It was. That was in 06, I want to say. He went to three quick, like in his first 5 years in the league, I think. Or five or six years as a starter. He was there three times. But speaking of the Packers, I mean, Rodgers is in that same group. He's only won one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He only got one.
But he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's a bit harsh. That was Ryan Harris joining us. Like, you know, Steve Young only had one as a starter. Brett Favre only had one. John Elway got two, but it was right at the end of his career. Didn't have one forever. Marino's got none. You know, there's some great, great quarterbacks who either have one or none. But Brees only has one. Rodgers only has one. Russell Wilson only has one. So those are the three that are going to the Hall of Fame alongside Tom Brady. And we'll see. I mean, all three teams, I think, are going to be in contention to represent the NFC at the Super Bowl this year.
Well, it's the year of the older quarterback. And then you've got the young bucks coming through, right?
But that's what's so crazy about the situation, Noodles, is you're right, yet this is Patrick Mahomes' league. You know, as much as it's great to see Brady, and the interest level, I think, is higher with Brady and Brees and Rodgers and Wilson because they've been around for so long. But it's Mahomes, it's Lamar Jackson. Watch out for that Kyler Murray, too, down in Arizona.
Telling you, man.
He's
Jesse
unreal.
Palmer picked him as the MVP. I love the pick.
It's a perfect pick based on what's happened the past 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. With Jackson in his second year, Mahomes in his second year, Murray now in his second year with a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins. What did Hopkins have, like 12 or 13 catches? San Francisco, too. Was incredible. But I saw a stat about Kyler Murray. Let me find it here. It was Daniel Jeremiah, who's a big scout. He's kind of the NFL Network's counter to Al Kiper Jr., Al's brother Kiper Jr., Mel yes. Kiper Jr. Yeah. And Jeremiah went back and watched that game on Sunday where Arizona went into San Fran and won. Kyler Murray ran the ball 13 times for 91 yards. He either slid, went out of bounds, or scored on 12 of the 13 runs. So in other words, he's not letting himself get hit, which is exactly what you need. Like that has been an issue.
When you're that size.
Exactly. Right, that's what Russell Wilson has perfected too. You can't hit Russ, and you can't hit Kyler Murray. And you know, Roethlisberger's the complete opposite. He sits in the pocket and waits for you to hit him almost before he even decides on where he's going to throw the ball.
Wow, but, he's so big,
he's
though.
Massive. Him
but
and Cam are just.
I was just
going to
say
beings.
That Cam Newton is such a large man. Mm-hmm. Like he just bullies his way around, and that's a difference. So I think Belichick is going to enjoy that because he can. He can plan his offense around it. He didn't have that with Brady.
It's a totally different landscape now with Cam.
Certain plays you just could not run with Brady.
Right.
Because,
he was slow as maybe in the history of the NFL, honestly. Like, he is one of the slowest quarterbacks ever.
I know. People give him heck. Like, he's not a great runner, correct?
No, he's not. But he's hit 1,000 yards rushing for his career. And I hope so. He's been in the league for 23 years or whatever, 20 years. But remember he did that last year, the year before on Instagram? Like his chase for 1,000 total yards as a quarterback. And it was like a three-yard scramble, and he crossed it. And I think he went back because I think he went for a run and got stopped behind the line, and he actually fell back below 1,000 at one point. But
well, that's funny. But yeah, Cam Newton, it's just different, you know, with New England. Yeah. Like that's where I think
totally
Belichick's going to be able to be creative because he knows he has a different type of weapon back there.
Absolutely. Jays are in the Bronx taking on the Yankees tonight. Taijuan Walker on the mound. for the Jays, so we'll tee that up. We got a couple more confirm and denies that we can get to as well. We got a big hockey game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, the Jays back in action tonight down at Yankee Stadium, and Stanton is back, Urshela's back, but no Judge.
Please tell me no Gerrit Cole on the mound.
No, I think that's tomorrow. I think they're running into that tomorrow. But, hey, you knew it was coming, right?
Well, you're playing 20 games, ten games against them. You're getting them two or three times.
Yeah. So they are one of those teams, if you believe in the numbers and the projections, it's like 98% locked in that they're going to make
the
playoffs.
Don't even start with that.
I know.
Do not.
Yeah, it's not. That's not an exercise that people really enjoy doing in Toronto. Is the whole this is a win or this is a playoff berth or moving on to the next round playoff percentage?
Yeah, you know my horror story about that. The 10 games left, and you circle the teams that are automatic wins. We lost every one of those games.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah, don't start circling where you think it's an easy night because you know what happens. Yeah. It just bites you right in the ass. Like, you don't do that.
No, and that's on the players ultimately, but it's on the manager, I think, to hammer that home. Like, I don't think the Blue Jays are in a position to take anything for granted because a lot of them have never played a playoff game.
No. They seem hungry, man. They seem like their minds are in the right place. Like, they have the right attitude. They're like a self-belief and the right... They seem hungry, man. They seem like a young, hungry team that they don't want to wait around a couple more years to get this done.
Yeah, and I think they should. I mean, they made a lot of sacrifices, right? Like, they're living in Buffalo, and they're on the road, and they're not allowed in Canada. And why would you throw it away now with 14 games to go? Why
all of a sudden? He's just a young kid, but I love the idea of Bo Bichette being a major voice in that clubhouse right now. I love it. I think he's the Jeter for the Jays. He's just that special of a player, and I love his what he's all about.
Well, I think he grew up with it, right? He grew up, he's a baseball family guy. So he would understand, that dynamic a lot quicker than other players that are just learning to, settle into the majors. This guy's been around it his whole life. So for me, I think he can instantly be a leader while he's still growing as a player. I agree, Oh. I think he's just getting better, and he's going to be a bigger voice and a bigger leader for the Jays moving forward.
Yeah, and you have to want to be that guy.
Yeah, if I think you're young. Don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's exactly what he wants. Sometimes over time, you just naturally become that guy because you've been there for 10 years, and you're a great player, and you're synonymous with the team, and it's like whenever you speak, everyone listens, and you're the leader by default. But if you want to do it basically as a rookie, you have to really want that role, and you want to have pride in that role, and you want to hold on to it for a long time. And listen, we live in the era of legacy, resume building. You can build your resume and your legacy really early here, where a lot of great players in baseball's history didn't get to a playoff game until they were 7-8 years into the league.
Andrew Jones did his first playoff game at Yankee Stadium. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Homer. Two homers, I think, in his first playoff game, Andrew Jones. It was like, okay. I think he was 19 years old at the time. It was like, okay, I'm here, and this is party time, and I'm ready for the big stage. Impressive.
Exactly. And if Bichette gets that opportunity, which we believe he will with 14 games to go, and Vladdy and Kevin Biggio. Biggio's been outstanding for them. Outstanding. He's been the most consistent Jay, more or less, because he's avoided the IL. And he's playing every day, and he's moving around the order a little bit, but he's been dialed, and he's been playing really well. And he's another one of those guys that I think is seeking out a role as a spokesman for the team and is comfortable in doing so. And he comes from a Hall of Fame baseball family as well. And the idea that these guys are 2 weeks away, and that's what we're talking about, 2 weeks today, the playoffs begin for baseball in bubbles, the American League will be at Dodger Stadium and Petco in San Diego, and the National League will be in Houston and in Arlington, and the World Series will be played exclusively at the home of the Rangers in Arlington, Texas, and they're hoping to have fans for the World Series. I read that today. They're hoping to get to like
a bubble with fans.
A bubble with fans.
I don't get that one, man. I just don't get that.
Well, I guess, you know, you're coming in from you're driving in underground, you're leaving underground. You're not pulling a Mike Milbury and joining the fans in the stands. You know, you're, right. you're not going to be anywhere close to a fan. They'll likely block off the first 10 rows of the stadium, and it'll look a lot like the Chiefs game a week ago. You get 25% capacity, maybe, what is that, 12, 15,000 fans scattered throughout the park. Maybe you load up the bleachers. I don't know.
Well, I know that all of these leagues are watching each other to see how, you know, they can make it work and how they can grab little trinkets from that league and from that league to figure it out. You have to think that the NBA, the NHL, once they're done, they'll be watching the NFL, Major League Baseball, because that may be the template for them next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're going to try and get 82 games in, you're not going to be in a bubble. You're going to be, you know, traveling from city to city. And I know what's crazy about it, like, think of the talk. We thought that the Major League Baseball was going to get canceled. Like, they've been able to kind of come out, and it's been quite quiet since,
yeah.
you know, what was it, the Marlins? What team was
the
it?
The Marlins St. Louis, Marlin? Were the first ones. Yeah, and at one point, St. Louis had played five games where everyone else had played, like, 15, right. 17, 20 games. They didn't play for weeks.
Right.
Because of either their own players and staff testing or teams that they were supposed to face. And
right.
The Marlins really kind of kick-started that party when they were up in Philly. And the Jays got hit by that. Remember, the Jays were
yeah.
supposed to go to Philly, and they didn't. They stayed in D.C. But right. All these leagues deserve some credit up until now. You know,
right.
I mean, I think we've been saying this for months. It's always subject to change because COVID is not going anywhere, and it's always lurking. But the NFL just played in 16 different stadiums all over America with rosters of 53 players, practice players, lots of personnel, flying in and out, staying in hotels, and every game was played, and not one player missed anything. Like, yeah. that's pretty incredible.
It really is. That's, you know, it's a testament to the commitment of the players and the organizations. But, you know, like I say, you're starting to see if there is a template for pro sports leagues, not the world, because, you know, the world's different. But for pro sports leagues to have success, like I say, it's going to come back to learning a little bit from each, you know, from each sport. You know, golf is outdoors, but, you know, golf hasn't missed they've had a couple of positives.
Couple players that, yeah, well, Scottie Scheffler had to pull out of the U.S. Open. Like, he just
right.
won the Rookie of the Year.
He won Rookie of the Year and got COVID in the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that one,
tough.
That hurts. And there's been a couple players, a couple caddies. But
yeah.
For the most part, you know, everyone has been able to play.
Yep.
And this is our second major, and outside of Scheffler, everyone's going to be there. Tiger's
yeah.
going to be there. I guess Koepka won't be, but that's because of injury.
Right.
But,
yeah, it's,
DJ will be there. Thomas will be there. Yeah. John Rahm's going to be there. They're all there. McIlroy. You just know it. You turn it on Thursday, you're watching golf.
Yeah, it'll be couching material for sure.
Well, it's just now we're getting into a position where kind of feels like, you know, hockey's coming to an end. The NBA is kind of coming to an end. Baseball's
there's going to be a void coming up here, Hazy.
Well, yeah, we're
going to get to
have
November and December, post the Masters, and it'll be exclusively the NFL, basically.
That's it,
right.
man.
But yeah. wasn't there, where was it, was that last week where there was like eight games going on from different leagues, six different
every,
leagues?
Every league possible was going at the same time,
yeah,
the same
WNBA
day.
Too, like it was,
yeah.
I thought I saw it on SportsCenter, it was like, there you couldn't catch up basically of what was going on. Was it last Saturday or
yeah
something
it was
like
it
that?
Was last week, and you had the US Open, you had golf, you had WNBA, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL had returned,
yeah.
College football's playing, you know, some teams and conferences are playing.
Crazy.
So you had everything mm-hmm. and you know the US Open really got lost in the shuffle for me. You know, I don't
right.
profess to be some diehard tennis fan anyway, so but I do love the U.S. Open when you've got your regular schedule because it kind of marks – it's almost like the X in Toronto.
Right.
Like it marks the end of summer. Football's coming. Hockey's coming. Basketball's coming. And the night matches in New York, when you got a packed house and one of the big guys playing or Serena's playing or whatever,
that's
it
what
is
what it was missing for
magical.
Me, Hayes. I couldn't connect to the – I know Osaka's an unbelievable talent and an up-and-coming star, but I just – I got to see that megastar. It's like that's when I'll tune into that.
And then yeah, obviously, and especially without the crowds. You know, without the crowds, it really like in, and I think New York in particular, it was lacking. And I think because there was so much else going on. But we'll see if it carries over to the French Open.
Right, but no fans. You're still tuning in to Federer, Nadal.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Yeah, if they're playing in a semis or they're playing in a final, or
it's like must watch, dialed in.
And if they're playing against each other, it's absolute must see. If it's one of them, you're like, okay, I got to check it out.
That's right.
And that wasn't the case on the men's side, and on the women's side, it's basically Serena up here, Andreescu, who wasn't even in the tournament. And I guess Jeannie Bouchard, I don't know if you saw this, but Mark Masters got a little exclusive interview with Jeannie.
No, what happened there was Mark Rowe, you know how sometimes the interviewers for SportsCenter, they got to do it twice, and then they just fill in the questions? Mark Rowe did that, and then Masters just zoomed and asked the question, so it was fill-in.
Okay.
You think so? Yeah,
I did not know about the inner workings of what was going on there, but Jeannie punched her ticket. She's off to the French Open. So she gets in on a wild card. Yeah, I mean, she's still got name recognition. Her game is just a disaster. But, it's always weird when she's playing, when there's a massive tournament ongoing, and you're like, yeah, I'm really feeling it. I think they were in Istanbul. And she's posting stuff on Instagram and Twitter, and wow, I love it here. I feel great. I feel like I'm making my way back. And you're like, the U.S. Open's literally happening. Yeah.
I know.
It's like, you're in the NIT. You know, like March Madness is happening right now, and you're playing in the NIT.
Dude, I give her credit, though, because Kournikova just faded off and started doing modeling and never touched a tennis racket again. She's, like, giving it a shot and working at it and trying to get back.
Yeah, she's grinding. Yeah. You know, she is grinding. And I give her – because she's made a lot of money. Like, she made a lot of money on endorsements.
Of course.
And, like, there was a time when she was one of the most marketable athletes in the world. Because of what she was doing at Grand Slams and the following she was building up. And she was massive up here, clearly.
Yeah.
And she's been passed by Andreescu, but Andreescu has not played. And I haven't seen the latest on the French Open and what's happening with her. But
she hasn't been the same. Something happened. I think it was at a U.S. Open. She like slipped in the shower and hurt her back. Or it was a goofy injury. And she hadn't been the same since that.
Yeah. She sued, too. She sued the U.S. Open.
Really?
And I believe she won. Yeah, I believe she won because, she was coming out of the shower or something. She was in the locker room and she slipped.
She slipped and it was
suffered
a mess.
A concussion, I think, and it really, really threw her off. And whether or not that is the reason why her career took a different turn, I don't know. I'm not willing to go that far. But
she is. She has been injury plagued, regardless of if it was through wear and tear of tennis or accidents and that. Like we haven't seen her. We don't see her. We haven't seen her play. When's
and we got to see you at the biggest tournaments, right? So you're at the French Open. There you go. You're back in the game. You know,
right.
Like no one's following what you're doing in Istanbul when the U.S. Open is happening.
Yeah. Right.
You talk about a comeback story and endorsements and stuff. If she could ever come back and make a run at something, she'll just be right back to being dialed in.
Absolutely. Yeah. She gets into a semifinals or a quarterfinal. Just goes on a run. Wins three or four matches at a big slam.
Right.
You know, like look at Shapovalov, where he got to the corners, and he won a few matches, and he was playing well, but he got knocked out in the quarters. But for us, especially on the men's side, it's like, wow, that's amazing, and we love it, and we support it. If you can break through even further, which is what Raonic has done at times in his career, if you can break through and get through that last peg like Andreescu did, that mantle's waiting for you on the men's side, but I think it's waiting for you on the women's side as well for Jeannie.
Yeah, I think Shapo's become a really good player. Like, he looks powerful.
Really young.
Like, really, like, growing into his body, like, looks really strong.
Mm-hmm.
We joke and we tease about the one incident that, obviously, like, now that we know that judge is fine, it's still very funny. It is. But he's a really good player and become, a good player. And, he had the comments the other day when... Who was it, Djokovic?
Djokovic. Djokovic hit the defaulted, lady in right?
The lady in the throat. And then he, right away, he's like, oh, I know how that feels. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel bad for him. But he's a really good player.
And, he is. Yep. No, there's a few of them, the young Canadians on the men's side. Like Ogier Aliassime, he's, I believe, a top 20 or 25 ranked player. And he's got all the potential in the world. He's also young. I think he's even younger than Chapo. So, yeah. You know, you have some Canadian content. And speaking of which, I saw that Bob Weeks tweeted out that it's an all-Canadian three-pack Thursday, Friday at the U.S. Open. Bob tweeted out that Hadwin, Hughes, and Connors will play together for the first two rounds.
Do you want to know the most rotten thing they've ever done at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst?
What?
They put three fat guys in the same group. And I'm not even kidding you. I'm telling you, they put the three fattest guys on tour. Google it. Brendan DeYoung, three ball. I think it was Brendan DeYoung. Who else would have been a fat guy? Tim Heron, maybe? There was three guys that were mooses out there.
I remember that controversy.
They put them all in the same group, and it was just an awful thing to do.
Yep.
Three grit grinders all in the same group. And,
trust me,
they did it on purpose.
There were people legitimately challenging them and asking someone. I remember that. You can find it. Someone was like, you know, is this a coincidence that the three biggest dudes on tour are all... Yeah, because they come up, they can basically do whatever they want. Usually majors, and it was
they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, like usually when the PGA was the last tournament, it would be the winner of the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the British. They would all be, you know, paired together, and there was history there. But beyond that, it was just kind of, you know, we want to have some grade A groups, and we're going to put DJ with Rory and Koepka, so we've got three monsters that we can focus on. And Phil's,
you know, who's
play
getting
with
the Tiger treatment right now? Tiger gets Justin Thomas whenever he decides to play in a tournament. It's like, there's your new buddy.
Yep.
You can play in the same group as him.
Yep.
It's so predictable. It's crazy.
Well,
I
want to
see a picture
him.
Of those three grit grinders playing.
I remember that. Standing together.
Like,
it was challenged. It was legitimately like someone how did you come up with those three guys? What's the rhyme or reason outside of...
There is no other, because they're not from the same country. I don't know what it was. It was because three of them were fat.
Do you think it was somebody like who was planning it, going, hey, watch this. Watch, I'm going to like try and slide that in under the radar?
I don't know. It didn't go under the radar. I do remember that story. Yeah, we can find that.
I need to find that. That's
anyway,
awesome.
We'll come back and tee up the hockey game, the basketball game tonight, Game 7, Nuggets and Clippers, and then Game 5. The Islanders looking to close out. The Islanders or the Lightning are looking to close out the Islanders, and we'll see what we feel about that game and how we feel about that game going into tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the full board tonight. I like the Braves at Baltimore tonight. I think the Lightning close out the Islanders, and I'm going to take a tie, so within 5 points in the NBA game tonight. I think it's a close game. I think they might need some magic, late magic from Kawhi. Yep, I like it. Throw down 20, and you can score 117.40. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So I think we just had an email come in here suggesting that the border will likely be closed through November, or towards the end of November anyway. So, you know, whatever that means for sports leagues, but it might factor in what happens with the NHL and the NBA. And
absolutely.
You know,
I keep thinking about that, guys. I always think, okay, this season's going to end. There's going to be a Stanley Cup, but it is going to be, the pressure points on that are going to be hit immediately as soon as the cup is handed out. The draft's over, free agency. It's like, what the hell's going on here? I probably think nobody even knows.
No, it's going to be uncharted territory. But, like, look at the NHL. I mean, if the Islanders lose tonight and Tampa wraps them up, like, they want to get the finals going right away.
Oh, yeah. Know? It's, and what, Tuesday today? They were probably Friday night.
Thursday they're going to play. That's what LeBron was saying.
Yeah, they're talking about Thursday. They crank it out because they want to get it going. And why not? Everyone's sitting in the bubble. Might as well just play.
Get it going.
Yeah, and you can hand out the cup early, technically, and you know, really pull off an event, knock on wood, with no COVID positives. And that's really what they wanted to do.
Yeah, an incredible achievement. And they'll get through free agency much like the NFL did. They'll do their draft just like the NFL did. But we're all going to wake up probably mid-October, and I think there's going to be a lot of uncertainty as to when we see a hockey game again.
Yeah.
You know, will it be December? doubtful January. I think that's more likely. Maybe into Feb, though. Like, you never know. And are they going to have to get really creative with kind of regionalized bubbles? And how do you cross the border? How do you cross into different states, different cities, bands, vaccines, all that stuff? I mean, it's all on the table right now, but we're going to be back at square one, which is where we were from March all the way through basically the middle of June, wondering what's going to happen. Are they going to play? Where are they going to play? How's it going to look?
Yeah.
I think there's just going to be a lot of speculation for a couple of months.
There is, but I mean, I still think it's going to be an unreally crazy offseason, like unreal. Because the goaltenders moving around, teams either working within their own budget, moving players out. You have to look ahead to expansion, so you got to make sure that, you know, you might be proactive moving a player that you might not think get traded, but gets traded because you wouldn't be able to protect them a year from now. Like, I think all hell's going to break loose. I really do.
I hope you're right. Great. I think it'd be great. Yeah. And it might leak into November, in December.
Yeah, you're right. It might. Yeah.
You might still have some news there, but the NBA is going to be doing the same thing. And I would think baseball will be doing the same thing. Like, once they get through, and it looks like they will, you know, do they reconvene? Does spring training happen like it always does in February and into March? Does that happen in Florida? Does it happen in Arizona? Do you go back to your own parks and do it like they did with spring training 2.0? I mean, these are all questions that we don't have an answer for.
No.
But we're lucky that they're playing right now. So take advantage of a hockey game tonight, an NBA game tonight. The Jays are playing the Yankees.
I agree. And right? Just for context, I was sent by a bunch of people on Twitter, thank you very much, the pictures of these three gentlemen that were playing together. Yeah, I mean, they're grit grinders. Like, I get it. I don't think it's that egregious, though. Like, is it Brendan DeJong, Shane Lowry, and Kevin Stadler? Right?
Yes.
Like, they're big guys.
I know. But Shane Lowry was a moose when that tournament was happening. And they all
so
were.
So what?
I know, but they didn't. Trust me, they had their own comments. They weren't happy about it. They thought it was embarrassing, and they shouldn't have been.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll ever happen again. I don't
Never. Right now, if they pulled that right now, it wouldn't happen.
So you think they're planning everything to aesthetically look good? That's basically...
Well, I think it's just to avoid anyone wondering why you have three people that would allow, you know, in 2020 people to say, well, what's this all about? Why are you doing that? What is this? You know, you keep it to the big names, you know, while they're three top 10 players, or, you know, three left-handed hitters are playing together, you know, stuff like that you can do. And you can... Because really, people are only paying attention to like a handful of groupings, right?
So,
unless there's something that sticks out, and it's like, because that was not a group that anyone cared about.
No, right. But they were the only three mooses on the tour, and they were in the same group.
I think it's. I mean, I don't know why.
And it was hot as hell in Pinehurst, and they were sweating like. Just the lather.
Yeah, the media picked up on it, and they were wondering, and I don't think it'll be happening again. Certainly not this week at Winged Foot. Like, for example, you put the three Canadians together. Great call. Great call. There's a fourth Canadian playing there, but he didn't make it into this group. But
what if the three Canadians were mooses? So you've got to steer away from that?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
It was just one of those unfortunate things.
Yeah. It happens.
All right, fair.
All right, so go Nuggets tonight. Right, I think we're on the Nuggets, or maybe not.
No,
I guess
They're gonna lose by 30.
You said by 30. Oh, you're very confident the Clippers are winning tonight. I can't sit here and say I feel overly confident that the Nuggets are gonna win. But it's a bubble. They've done it before. It's Game 7. Kawhi, Paul George. I don't know what he's bringing tonight, and I think Tampa rolls tonight as well. I think Tampa wins.
For multiple reasons.
we'll see. And the Jays are down in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. So there's going to be a lot to break down and digest tomorrow, including Jerry's percentages at 5:30 as always. We are out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at?
See you on the tee at 10 a.m.
4 p.m. We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority.
With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.